Fiat. September 12, 1937. How these truths are the greatest gift that God gives to us. Divine birth. Extreme delirium to see us possessors of His gifts. His word is an outpouring of love. The great good of an act done in the divine will. My poor mind is as though besieged by the divine will. It wants to speak so much about the truths that belong to it that I cannot contain them because my capacity is too small. So I am forced to say, "Enough for now, Jesus. You want to say so many things, but I am incapable of retaining them. I won't be able to say them all, and much less write them as you want." My sweet Jesus, compassionate in my littleness, all tenderness, told me, "My little daughter of my will, do not fear. Your littleness remains dissolved inside my will. You are not the one who has to manifest its truths, but my will itself will take on the commitment of becoming the narrator of what it wants to make known. Therefore, it will invest your mind. It will make itself word upon your lips, and it will make itself known for who it really is. Surely you cannot do it by yourself, but as long as you place your will into ours, we will fix everything, and we will make known what we want to say. You must know that when we want to do some good to the creatures, or reveal a truth, which is the greatest good we can give to them, because by speaking it, we make of it a gift for her. First we mature it within the womb of our divinity. Then, when we can no longer contain it, because our love is such that it wants to see that gift being possessed by the creatures, to the point of making us restless and delirious unto causing us to languish because it wants to see that good transmitted to them. We find ourselves in the painful conditions of a poor mother who, having formed her baby, feels herself dying if she does not deliver him into daylight. We cannot die, but if we do not deliver to the light the good that we want to give as a birth from us, our love reaches such excesses that if creatures could see it, they would comprehend how much a God can love, and into what constraints they put us when they do not receive the good we want to give them. Therefore, when we find one who does receive it, we confirm the gift, we make feast, and we feel victorious for the good we have given her. And this because after even just one creature has received it, this birth from us, delivered with so much love, by itself will make its way, will go around through all creatures, and by its generative virtue, it will regenerate many other births, filling the whole world. And we will have the great glory of seeing heaven and earth filled with our gift, with our goods, and whoever wants to receive it being the possessor of it. Everywhere we will feel the loving voices, the notes of our speaking love, requiting our constraint love. For we could not deliver this birth from us had we not found at least one creature willing to receive it. For us, doing good is a passion. Giving is the continuous delirium of our love. And in finding one who receives it, we feel our life and our rest in that gift. Therefore, we love so much the first one who disposes herself to receive this birth from us that we trust her. We make her our secretary, and she, feeling so loved by us, makes the commitment to love us for all, and oh, what a contest begins between she and us. You must know that each word of ours is an outpouring of love that we make with the creature. So, every word spoken on our divine will is an outpouring of love that we have already done. And receiving refreshment from this outpouring, we have continued to speak, to form the chain of our outpourings of love. In fact, it was a repressed love that we kept within us. And if you knew what this, our outpouring of love, means, and the goods it produces. Our outpouring of love fills heaven and earth, invests all. It is balm over the pains. It becomes daylight in the night of guilt, converting sinners, straightening those who are limping in good, strengthening the good. In sum, there is no good that a word of ours cannot do, containing our outpouring of love. Therefore, letting us speak is the greatest good that can be done for the creatures. And our love being requited and giving divine life to the creatures is the greatest glory we can receive. What can one word of ours not do? It can do anything. And whoever is disposed to listen to it gives life, it can be said, to our word. In fact, we never speak if we don't find one who wants to listen to us. Therefore, the one who does listen to us loves us so much that we feel as if she wanted to give us life in the midst of creatures. And we give her our life at her disposal. So, be attentive in listening to us. Let us pour out our love. Because many times, when we have no one with whom to pour out our love, these outpourings convert justly into justice. Jesus kept silent. Who can say what remained inside my mind? I don't have the words to say it. Therefore, I stop here. And I abandon myself in the arms of Jesus to rest together with him, who loves me so much and wants to be loved in return, and who gives me the whole of himself to be loved back as he loves me. And then I continued my round in creation to trace the acts done by the divine volition, make them my own, and be able to love him back the way he loved me. And as I reached the blue vault, I thought to myself, this sky serves as a vault for the residents of the earth, and as a pavement for the celestial residents. So, since it serves everyone, all have the duty to adore he who, with so much love, has created this celestial vault to give it to us. Therefore, I called all the angels, the saints, and all the inhabitants of the earth to be with me, so that all together we might requite our Creator in love, in adoration, glory, and thanksgiving, for he loved us so much that he gave us this sky. In the divine will, I called and embraced everyone, and as if all were one, they loved together with me. Sweet Jesus felt loved and wounded by so many voices, and with unspeakable love, he told me, my daughter, the power of one act in my will is such as to seem unbelievable. As you were calling everyone, I felt loved by all. And since you have a will, free and capable of acquiring merit, as you emitted your act, my will unleashed from itself a greater love, glory, and happiness by which all felt invested. The angels and the saints feel a greater glory and happiness and feel even more loved by God, while the earth receives more aids and graces according to their dispositions. All the acts done in my will receive this great good, because my will belongs to all, and all have the right to that act. And since it is an act from a pilgrim soul, who gains the merit of every good she does. That merit becomes a common merit. Therefore, common joy, love, and glory. If you knew what it means to be loved more by God, and the joys and the glory that a God can give, oh, how much more attentive you would be. The angels and the saints who know this long for your call in order to have this great good. And when you don't call them, all concerned, they say, "She's not calling us today?" So, while you are on earth, your merit runs to heaven to give new love and new happiness to the celestial residents. Oh, how I wish that all knew what it means to operate in my will. This knowledge is like the appetite, which makes one desire and enjoy the food that one eats. But without appetite, one feels aversion toward that same food and does not enjoy it. Such is the knowledge. It is the bearer of my gifts, of the good I want to give to creatures, and it is the confirmation of possession. Moreover, knowledge generates esteem and appreciation for my truths. And only then do I speak, when I know that my words are loved, listened to, and appreciated. Even more, when I see esteem and love, I feel attracted by my same love to manifest more truths. But if I don't see it, I remain silent, and I feel the pain of my repressed love. You will not do this to me, will you?